The first case this morning is Northern Contractors versus the State of Illinois. Mr. Olson.
May it please the court, good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. The issue before the court is whether or not a race-conscious requirement that relates to the selection of subcontractors is constitutional, number one, and number two, whether or not the Illinois Department of Transportation prepared or opted to use that race-conscious requirements in accordance with the federal regulation established by the federal government. I say that at the outset because it's important to understand that the only beneficiaries of the race-conscious requirement at issue are subcontractors, DB subcontractors. The only race-conscious requirement relates to a requirement that on projects where a goal is established, that prime contractors must either obtain the amount of the percentage goal established for the project or otherwise use good faith efforts, which requires that they attempt to utilize DBEs, even if it means use of a DB bid, which is higher. By contrast, to the selection of subcontractors where IDOT's Illinois Department of Transportation's race-conscious requirement is in place, prime contractors continue to be selected by the state of Illinois on the basis of low bid as mandated by the state legislation. Given that, the question then is whether or not, as a matter of law, there is a problem of underutilization of DBEs and subcontracting caused by discrimination. I say that's the proper focus for two reasons. One, the regulation itself makes clear throughout that the focus of the DBE program and the right contained in it for a state to utilize a subcontractor selection requirement is limited only to the extent to ensure that DBE participation is not limited by current or past discrimination. So it was incumbent upon the state of Illinois to determine whether and to what extent DBE participation was limited by discrimination. In this case, discrimination related to the selection of subcontractors. Number one. Number two, as a matter of constitutional law, in order for a program to be narrowly tailored, it has to ensure that the decision to use a discriminatory requirement, among other things, satisfies the first prong of the narrow tailoring test, that is there a necessity for that relief? I also might point out that whether the regulation was properly adhered to by way of the state of Illinois' decision to use a race-conscious requirement, the regulation itself says that in order for the regulation to be complied with, the state's decision must be narrowly tailored. And we pointed that out, that it lists actions that are prohibited or discriminatory actions that are prohibited, and one of those is an action that would defeat or impair the purposes that the regulation is set out to accomplish. And one of the purposes of the regulation is to ensure that each recipient's administration of the program is narrowly tailored. So the question then is, as a matter of regulatory law, as a matter of constitutional law, was the state's decision to use a race-conscious subcontractor selection requirement necessary? As a starting point, was there discrimination limiting the level of DB participation in IDOT subcontracting? As a matter of law, the district court determined that DBE participation in subcontracting was full. That is, DBEs were participating at a level that not only matched their availability in subcontracting, but exceeded it. And that was based on stipulated statistics that IDOT prepared for all the years that it tracked DBE participation in subcontracting. It determined that every year on no-goal projects, not on goal projects, but rather on no-goal projects where there was no requirement, any impetus to use a particular level of DBEs in subcontracting, every year IDOT determined based off its own statistical information that DBEs were fully utilized. So when prime contractors had a choice rather than an obligation to some extent whether to use DBE subcontractors, they utilized DBE subcontractors fully. as a matter of fact, based upon IDOT's statistics that were the basis of a stipulation that was entered into in trial, and as a matter of law, that is based upon the Tenth Circuit case in Denver. The court held that we can statistically look at whether and to what extent DBs are fully utilized by looking at whether and to what extent utilization equals availability, and the court held that if availability equals utilization, that as a matter of statistically speaking, we can conclude that DBEs are fully utilized. And as a matter of law, in this case, as a district court found, DBEs were fully utilized not only as a matter of fact and as a matter of law. I might also point out that at the summary judgment stage at this case, the district court, I would assert, properly determined in many points of its summary judgment decision that the proper focus at the trial stage was whether DB participation in subcontracting was limited by discrimination. And as a matter of law, the district court held after the trial that with regard to that question, DBs were, at least as it related to subcontracting. The reason we're here before the court is although the district court determined that DBs were fully utilized in subcontracting, the court held that underutilization in prime contracting, that is the award of prime contracts by the state to prime contractors as opposed to the award of subcontracts by prime contractors to subcontractors, the court held that underutilization in prime contracting, in its opinion, was a sufficient predicate as a matter of law to justify IDOT's use of a race conscious requirement in the selection of subcontractors. As a matter of fact and as a matter of law, I would assert, Your Honors, that it was improper for the court to rule as a matter of law that that was a sufficient predicate, and I say that for a number of reasons. As a starting point, the court never determined what caused that underutilization because, given the court's focus that the case would, or given the court's parameters at the summary judgment stage, that the case would focus on whether and to what extent DBE subcontractors were underutilized as a consequence of discrimination, the case focused as a matter of evidence on the prime contractor selection of subcontractors.
And so you never asked the court to rule on that specific question?
Other than during closing argument, Your Honor, the court asked the IDOT counsel on what basis they were relying upon for evidence of discrimination limiting DB participation, and then the answer was that we were looking at the total utilization, or what they characterize as total underutilization of DBs that included not only participation in subcontracts but also prime contracts. But in terms of our request to the court, we sought to have the race-conscious subcontractor selection requirement no longer used and provided the evidence as a matter of law and as a matter of fact related to selection of subcontractors. Now, having said that, during the course of the trial, there was evidence deduced with regard to, for example, whether IDOT discriminated in its selection of prime contractors. And the evidence, and certainly you can ask IDOT to confirm that, the evidence was that IDOT did not discriminate. And in fact, there was no evidence whatsoever of IDOT discriminating at all. The only evidence that might have related to discrimination limiting or being the cause of the underutilization of DBEs in prime contracting concerned data that was brought in from outside IDOT contracting, which is some studies, some evidence that was introduced in the City of Chicago case that alleged discrimination by sureties in providing bonds, banks in providing financing. However, I might add is putting aside for a moment whether or not discrimination in prime contracting, whether or not a subcontractor selection requirement could be considered a narrowly tailored response to remedy that, I might say it as a starting point, the evidence at trial did not indicate that even if there had been discrimination by way of sureties and banks as it related to the City of Chicago market, that did not show itself to be true in the IDOT market because DBEs and subcontractors who also have the same need to get financing, who also have the same need to get bonding, were shown to be fully utilized. In fact, overutilized if you measure utilization according to availability equaling utilization. So it did not, so there was not, at best, there was a speculative basis to conclude that why is it that banks and sureties would either have not discriminated against DBs in subcontracting or otherwise would not have affected them, yet in the same market they would be discriminating on the basis of DBE's efforts to get sure bonds and financing for prime contracts.
Now you've talked about the race conscious prong of the program, but how is our examination affected by the fact that IDOT's program allows white males to qualify as DBEs as well?
Your Honor, they can qualify as that. I would say as a starting point, the presumption is, and it's driven by, the presumption is that minorities, women, shall be treated as disadvantaged as a starting point, number one. Number two, the federal regulation treats use of contracts goals as a race-conscious measure. So, and if you wanted to, I could get the cite to that. It's referenced in the regulation, and I believe even the IDOT's brief acknowledges that use of goals is treated under the regulation as a race-conscious requirement. So, given, and number one, and number
so
two.
So then you would say it has no impact, the fact that white males can qualify under that other prong.
Well, I think it does have an impact insofar as the result. I mean, if your question is to what extent are whites, have whites qualified as DBEs, that evidence wasn't adduced at trial.
Okay.
You know, I would indicate the question is, I would say that would be focused, in my opinion, more on the burden issue, because the question, the first part is whether or not a measure which the regulation recognizes as a race-conscious measure, whether or not that race-conscious measure satisfies either the regulation's basis to utilize it, number one, and number two, as a matter of constitutional law, whether or not it satisfies the narrowly tailoring requirements. Whether and to what extent it disproportionately or unlawfully burdens white male contractors, we certainly could address that issue separately. But I think in the first part, it's undisputed at least my understanding as a matter of law is whenever a governmental body opts to use a race-conscious requirement, it is required to show that decision satisfies strict scrutiny. Or at least in this case, narrowly tailoring insofar as the district court determined that since the state's operating within a federal program, the federal government had shown the sufficient evidence of a compelling interest. So as a matter of law, the trial focused on whether or not the IDOT's decision to utilize a race-conscious requirement was narrowly tailored.
Was there evidence with regard to prime contractors and their subcontracting practices?
Yes, there was, Your Honor. Indeed, the evidence at trial significant evidence. There was 10 prime contractors that testified, including some that were alleged to have not solicited DB subcontractors on projects without goals. They all testified that they select on the basis of low bid, both on goal and no-goal projects, other than on goal projects when they cannot meet the goal requirement solely on the basis of selection of low bid, then they will select higher bids of DBEs in order to meet that goal. Number two, those same prime contractors provided their bid records for all of their projects for a period, I believe, of either 1 or 2 years. All of that came into evidence. And on the basis of their testimony, on the basis of the records that they were provided, the district court concluded that there was not any evidence whatsoever of even one instance where a prime contractor chose a subcontractor on the basis other than low bid. In addition, IDOT itself stated both at the summary judgment stage and during the trial that it had no evidence of prime contractors selecting DBEs or anybody, be it DB or non-DB subcontractors, on any basis other than low bid. And I think as a matter of law, all of the evidence, and I think the district court, in fact, provided a graph to sort of summarize the evidence that related to utilization, and in a footnote summarized both the bid records as well as the testimony of the prime contractors as it related to selection of subcontractors, and the district court concluded in its opinion DBE subcontractors are utilized at a rate that would be consistent with their ability. And then the question then we were left was, I see.
You can use it or not. You're reducing your rebuttal time, or you can
I'll continue during my rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Light.
May it please the Court, my name is Eric Light. I'm an Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the State Defendants Appellees. The basic issue here is whether the Illinois Department of Transportation narrowly tailored its disadvantaged business enterprise plan to achieve Congress's compelling interest in not financing private discrimination in the highway construction industry. IDOT did adopt a narrowly tailored plan. It performed a detailed study of the Illinois highway construction market. It found continuing evidence of continuing private discrimination in that market against minorities and females. It adopted a conservative goal, overall goal for DBE participation in its contracting. It adopted many race-neutral measures designed to achieve that goal before resorting to race-conscious goals on individual contracts. It adopted a plan that employed great flexibility, including waiver provisions for individual contract goals, and striving to reach its overall goal. And it left many opportunities for white males to continue participating in IDOT contracting. Together, all these factors show, and the district court correctly found, that IDOT's DBE plan was narrowly tailored. To determine whether an affirmative action plan is narrowly tailored, the courts have looked at five factors. The first is the necessity of relief. Race-conscious relief. The second is the possibility of alternatives to race-conscious relief. The third is the flexibility and duration of the race-conscious relief, including the possibility of waivers. Fourth is the relationship of the numerical goals to the relevant labor market. And finally, the impact of the race-conscious relief on third parties. Turning first to the necessity of race-conscious relief here, the question really is there discrimination in the Illinois market of the type that Congress found to exist nationally when it enacted the Transportation Equity Act for the 21st century and when USDOT adopted implementing regulations. There was a great deal of evidence presented at trial by IDOT that, in fact, there was the sort of discrimination that Congress found to exist nationally. IDOT hired a consulting firm which performed an exhaustive study of the Illinois construction market.
How much experience has this firm had in that work before?
It's done this before, Your Honor. It has done this same sort of study before for other. I believe it was Minnesota, the Minnesota Department of Transportation. I'm not sure who else, but I think there were probably one more at least. I'm not sure, but.
And you're referring to the National Economic Research Associates?
Correct.
The NERA, and the approach that they used, the methodology they used was approved by the 8th and 10th Circuit, wasn't it?
Right. There is no problem that these courts found with the methodology. And, in fact, that's one of the reasons why IDOT decided to hire NERA, because it had been essentially approved by these other circuits. Looking at various counties in Illinois and looking at the various product, the various segments of the construction industry in which IDOT contracts, performing a linear regression analysis to control for many variables such as age, education, experience, location, NERA found statistically significant levels of discrimination against minorities and females, both in terms of earnings rates and in terms of business formation rates. In addition to NERA's study that IDOT commissioned, IDOT introduced four other expert reports that were commissioned by other Illinois agencies, like City of Chicago, for example. And in those reports, in one way or the other, all those reports supported the conclusion that there, in fact, was continuing discrimination in the Illinois market. They found similar disparities in the rates of earnings and business formation. They found discrimination by lenders and sureties. They found discrimination by prime contractors in the solicitation of bids for subcontracting work. And they found unused capacity on the part of DBEs to perform the sort of work that IDOT contracts for, and that this was due to discrimination.
Now, the IDOT adopts a new DBD plan each year, is
correct.
That right? And do they then contract with NERA each year to do such an analysis?
No. Does not do that.
How often is that type of analysis done?
Well, IDOT contracted for the 2005 plan, and I believe it did not renew that, have another analysis done for 2006. So we're just sort of at the beginning of the process of using this methodology. So it's not, I'm not sure how frequently it's going to have to be done. Presumably the underlying facts aren't going to change dramatically from one year to the next.
But
there will come a point when a new study will have to be done, or updated at least. Now, to counter all this statistical evidence that IDOT introduced, NCI introduced exactly nothing. No statistical evidence, no expert reports attempting to undermine the methodology that IDOT employed. Instead, NCI introduced anecdotal evidence of 10 non-representative prime contractors who came in and testified that they did not discriminate when they chose subcontractors. Instead of introducing any statistical evidence about the Illinois market, IDOT simply argues that there's no need for any race-conscious goal because DBE subcontractors were fully utilized in the years before the 2005 plan. There are four problems with this argument. The first is it assumes that the benefited group here is DBE subcontractors. In fact, there's nothing in the IDOT plan that limits the benefits to DBE subcontractors. In other words, IDOT's overall goal of 22.77% could be achieved perfectly well if IDOT obtained 22.77% DBE participation through prime contractors, through the award of prime contracts. Now, the reality of the labor market is that due to past discrimination and the continuing effects of past discrimination and present discrimination, DBEs tend to be concentrated in segments of the construction industry where they do subcontracting work. But that's not an artifact of the program itself. That's simply due largely to discrimination. So this is not a situation where the program distinguishes between prime contractors or subcontractors in terms of achieving the DBE goal. The second reason why why NCI's argument is flawed is that, in fact, if you look at the evidence, DBEs were underutilized. According to 2005 data that IDOT relied upon, it showed that on contracts without goals, DBE subcontractors were, in fact, underutilized. The department calculated DBE availability for 2005 at 22.77%. The 2004 utilization rate of DBE subcontractors was 17%, and that's in the stipulated statistics at page A94 of NCI's appendix. So even on the comparison that NCI wants to make, there was underutilization of DBEs in the subcontracting segment of the market. The third problem with NCI's approach is really an apples-to-oranges comparison. NCI is comparing DBE utilization on subcontracts with DBE availability on prime and subcontracts. That's not a reasonable comparison. If you want to compare apples to apples, you would compare DBE utilization on subcontracts with DBE availability on subcontracts. NCI introduced no evidence that would tell us what DBE availability on subcontracts was. Instead, it simply used the total DBE availability figures that IDOT relied upon. Finally, even if DBEs were fully utilized at the subcontracting level, this does not mean that there was no discrimination in the Illinois market. Because of present discrimination and the continuing effects of past discrimination, As I said, DBEs are highly concentrated in segments of the construction industry where that tend to do mostly subcontracting work. So the high DBE subcontracting participation is largely due to the fact that discrimination has forced them into the into doing subcontracting type of work. The second factor that one looks at in considering whether or not a affirmative action plan is narrowly tailored is the possibility of alternative remedies, race-neutral remedies. And here, the department used and employed, adopted exhaustive race-neutral alternatives. And there, the 11 of them are detailed in the brief. I'm not going to go through them all here. Suffice it to say that IDOT gave serious and good faith consideration to race-neutral alternatives before turning to race-conscious goals on individual contracts. In addition, there's great flexibility in IDOT's plan. If it turns out that DBE participation will exceed the projected, the overall goal that IDOT has adopted, it is required under the regulations to scale back the level of race-conscious goals that it uses. In addition, this is it's not a quota or set-aside program. There's no penalty for IDOT if it doesn't meet its overall goal. The only penalty that IDOT could face was that if the U.S. Department of Transportation determined that it was not implementing its program in a good faith manner. In addition, IDOT has adopted the possibility of waivers on individual contract goals, and indeed, IDOT allows waivers, grants waivers in approximately 75% of the time that they are requested by prime contractors. So there's great flexibility in IDOT's DBE plan. Now the fourth factor involves looking at whether there's a rational relationship between the numerical goal that IDOT has adopted, the 22.77%, and the relevant labor market. And this concern arises, stems really from the Supreme Court's decision in Crozen, where the city of Richmond adopted a 30% quota in its construction industry or construction contracts based simply on the level of minority population in the city. And the Supreme Court said, well, wait a minute, there's no evidence that, you know, 30% of the people available to do the work that you need to be done are capable of doing construction work. And so really what the department has to do in this case is make sure that those people who it includes in its availability measure are actually capable of doing the work for which IDOT contracts. And that's exactly what IDOT did in this case. NERA performed a study and looked at who was available to do the exact types of work for which IDOT contracts. And it did this by looking through SIC codes that IDOT, of the contractors who IDOT contracts with, what type of work did they do, and match that with the type of work that the the people in the industry do. NCI argues, however, that IDOT should have calculated availability based solely on its list of pre-registered and pre-qualified firms. But IDOT's pre-registration and pre-qualification requirements are not the sort of special qualification the Supreme Court in Crozen was concerned about. Here, all firms that IDOT counted when measuring availability were indeed capable of doing the type of work that IDOT contracts for.
Can you address that Builders Association versus County of Cook case, which I think creates a problem for you, and explain why you think that's distinguishable here?
Well, in that case, there was the court said that there was no evidence of discrimination either by the agency itself, the county itself, or by prime contractors. But in this case, what the department is trying to do essentially is it's doing a task that was delegated to it by Congress. Congress found that there was discrimination nationally of various types that it wanted to address in the highway construction industry. And it said, go out states or any recipient and find out if there is that sort of discrimination in your locality. And that's exactly what IDOT did. There's the sort of discrimination here in Illinois that Congress found it did not want its dollars to go towards financing. So in County of Cook, there was not that sort of effort or requirement by the county to find discrimination of the sort, for example, that Congress had found a necessity to address. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Thank you.
And the final factor that one looks at is whether or not, to what extent, the race-conscious relief impacts the rights of third parties. Here, when you think about it, the overwhelming percentage of IDOT contracting work is still available to non-DBEs. IDOT adopted a 22.77% DBE participation goal, and only 16 percentage points of that is to be achieved through race-conscious means. In other words, DBE goals on individual contracts. That leaves 84% of IDOT contracting dollars still available, totally unencumbered by DBE goals, to non-DBEs. And with waivers, non-DBE firms can even compete for some of those 16% dollars. Finally, I'd simply like to address a point that counsel made in his opening presentation, was that it's not appropriate to look at this as a subcontractor selection requirement. There's no requirement that these goals be met by subcontractor participation. As I sort of touched on earlier, these goals, the individual goals, can be satisfied by any combination of DBE performance on as prime contractors or subcontractors. So it's not accurate to call it a subcontractor selection requirement. In conclusion, after performing a detailed study, IDOT found evidence of discrimination in its market of the type that Congress found necessary to address. It considered race-neutral alternatives. It adopted a flexible plan that included waivers. It calibrated its overall goal closely to those in its market who are able to do its work, and it left many contracting opportunities for non-DBEs. State defendants' appellees ask that this court affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Light. Mr. Olson? How much time? You have 5 minutes, Mr. Olson.
You're right.
I want to start just by clarifying a few misstatements made by counsel. As a starting point, the race-conscious requirement is limited to selection of subcontractors. As the district court held, in any event, DBE goals have no effect on the award of prime contracts pursuant to 26.43B. IDOT awards such contracts exclusively on the lowest responsible to the lowest responsible bidder. The regulation states that nothing in this regulation requires under any circumstances a recipient to accept a higher bid for a prime contract from a DBE when a non-DBE has presented a lower bid. This rule does not interfere with the recipient's implementation of state and local low bid legislation. I'd also add that the regulation indicates that a recipient, and I quote, could, use goals only on those DOT-assisted contracts that have subcontracting possibilities. And indeed, the district court has recognized that, and I think it's important to deal with what's been determined by the district court. What's also been determined by the district court is, notwithstanding the allegation of counsel to the contrary, DBEs, the court had a chance to consider all the evidence that was brought in outside of IDOT contracting, and the court concluded as a matter of evidence within IDOT contracting, DBEs were fully utilized. I might, as a starting point, indicate IDOT's consultant acknowledged that, and I quote, all we have for DBE utilization on IDOT contracts is IDOT's own utilization data. That's from trial transcript at 1358. On the basis of IDOT's data, the court concluded, and I quote, as shown in the chart below, DB utilization on subcontracts has exceeded availability each year for which data is available since 2001 on both goal and non-goal projects. The court also held that, and I quote, plaintiff's witnesses were unanimous in maintaining that they solicit DBEs and non-DBEs equally and explaining that their firms look to price and ability, not race or gender, in awarding subcontracts. There was no evidence of even a single instance in which a prime contractor failed to award a job to a DBE that offered the low bid. The testimony is supported by the statistical data discussed above, which shows that at least at the level of subcontracting, DBEs are generally utilized as a rate in line with their ability. No question. So the only issue before the court is whether or not underutilization in the award of prime contracts by IDOT, even assuming that there was discrimination, is a sufficient legal predicate either under the, well, as a matter of law, whether or not a subcontractor selection requirement could ever be narrowly tailored to remedy a problem of underutilization that might or might not be caused by discrimination in the award of prime contracts. And I might start, as a matter of law, we cited a number of cases, none of which were disputed by counsel, that held uniformly, as a matter of law, the focus is properly on determining whether the beneficiaries, which in this case is undisputed, are DBs and subcontracting, have suffered discrimination. And in this case, it's undisputed they haven't. There's been clearly discrimination in the past, and fortunately, as it relates to the award of subcontracts and IDOT contracting, that past discrimination is no longer limiting DBEs. That apparently the only color that matters to primes now is green, which relates to whether they can get the low prime bid and therefore earn the money from getting that bid. I might also add that, as Your Honor asked the question, whether or not the methodology utilized as it relates to whether or not there's a requisite relationship between the goal that's established and the market, while this methodology was used in other cases and found to be acceptable, what's important to note is this. This case is different in one respect, and it's not disputed. In IDOT contracting, unlike any of those cases, those markets, you cannot bid, you're not able to bid on prime contracts unless you're pre-qualified by IDOT as a matter of statutory law. Number two, as a matter of statutory law, you cannot submit bids and have your bid accepted as a subcontractor unless you're either pre-qualified as a prime or registered as a sub. And indeed, up to the point that NERA was employed by IDOT, IDOT held that based upon its 20 years of administering the program, it concluded that, in its opinion, only those firms that were registered or pre-qualified were properly considered. As IDOT put it, and I quote, and it's from PX 18 at 2, now any business interested in doing work on department projects must either be pre-qualified to bid or registered to subcontract. This effectively assesses the ready, willing, and able component of the goal-setting process. I might state that that approach that was used uniformly by IDOT up to the point of retaining NERA for this case held that when they were questioned by myself at trial, did your opinion of that change? IDOT said it had not, that it still stood by the view that focusing on only those that were certified as DBEs, pre-qualified as primes, or registered as subcontractors were properly considered to be ready, willing, able. I see my red light has come on. Thank you very much for the opportunity before Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.